2 weeks ago in the gospel story that we heard on the day of Pentecost, Jesus gave the Holy Spirit of God a name. "I will ask the Father," Jesus said, "and he will send you another advocate to be with you forever." Bible dictionaries tell us that the literal meaning of that word advocate is to be on the side of another. And in our English language, Webster's Dictionary says that the definition of an advocate is someone who defends the cause of another, or someone who seeks to protect or seeks the good of another person's interests in any way that lifts them up. And so it's that we understand to be the work of God's Holy Spirit. But all of that has also been helpful for us, especially in this last year at St. Mark's, when we have been focused on what it means for us to be advocates, for us to have the Spirit of God within us, and to act in ways that reflect God's love and concern for the world. That's especially true in our engagement with faith and family homelessness, because from the beginning we have said that more than anything else, this is a ministry of advocacy. But it's no secret that we started out with many more questions than answers. We wondered what that would look like. What would being an advocate for homeless neighbors look like in daily life? And we also asked how the Bible could guide us or inspire us in our desire to be faithful to that calling. And along the way, many texts from Scripture have stood out. But my new favorite now with regard to advocacy is this gospel story that we heard today on the second Sunday after Pentecost. Because for me, in so many ways, it just seems like a remarkable case study of advocacy at many different levels. And it challenges me, and it also opens me to the promises of God for all people. The challenge comes right from the start, when we meet this Roman centurion who is not speaking or acting in any way that we would expect. In fact, doing the opposite of what we would think would be the pattern for him. He is a man with a lot of power, and he talks about that even with Jesus, the people that he sends to Jesus, saying, "I have the power to tell people to do anything I want them to do." But in the daily actions of this person, what's remarkable is that he's not using his power to advance his own cause in his household or in the town where he was sent to serve as a Roman centurion. Instead, he's using his power as leverage. He's leveraging the power that he has for the sake of people that he had never met before, people that had come into his household, people in the community. It's really a remarkable story of what happens when someone reaches out in this way. And it begins in his own household when we see that he is breaking down barriers that would normally exist in that town and in that place. It would be highly unlikely, I'm sure, for a powerful master to be so concerned about the well-being of a lowly slave. But he is crossing that barrier that almost always exists between the strong and the weak. And he's expressing deep concern for this person in his household. And a clue to the relationship comes in the middle of the story, where the centurion ceases to call this person his slave and uses a different term, a much more endearing term, similar to one that would be used at the time to talk about someone who was your own beloved child living in the house with you. So it's no wonder that he is seeking to leverage his power for the sake of this one who is ill. It's no wonder that he's trying to use whatever connections he has in order to advocate for this person, to help him be brought back to health. Because this isn't just a nameless person in need. This is a beloved one, one that is close to his own heart. And in looking at this, it's also interesting to see that the connections that he needs at this point in the story to help this other person are ones that have also been forged in very unique ways that would have been unexpected again in the first century. It's hard to grasp this, I know, as readers of this in the 21st century, so far removed from that. But for a Gentile Roman soldier to be the one who built a synagogue for Jewish people in the town of Capernaum would have been just unheard of in that time and place. And we see, too, what happens when he crosses that boundary. It's not just a barrier between the strong and the weak now. This is also a barrier that he's crossing between religions, between cultures, between nations. And all of that, this person is stepping across to do something, to be on the side of these people without the means and the power to attain that and to be present with them. And we see in that something that's changing in them as well. This advocacy, this unlikely advocacy, becomes contagious. And now these Jewish elders are wanting to do something in the same way for others. And when they find out, therefore, that this centurion now has a need and that he's looking for advocates, they jump at the chance now to leverage their power, whatever they may have within their own Jewish circle. They leverage that power now and plead his case before this Jewish healer who has come to town. They say to Jesus, he's worthy of this favor that he is asking of me. Because we know this, we know him, and they're trying to talk Jesus into extending his healing power beyond the normal boundaries of nation and race and culture and religion. But Jesus doesn't need any convincing. This has been his pattern from the very beginning. This is what he made very clear in Nazareth when he began his ministry by giving examples of how God chose people outside of Israel to bear gifts for them, and the way that God also extended this healing beyond the people of Israel to Naaman, who gives the example of a person from an enemy country who God heals. So this is been a pattern for Jesus, and now it's just another opportunity to continue this healing power of God beyond what all barriers would have prohibited, and to bring this now not just to someone who happens to be living in that town, but to really a person who represents the enemy, to a person who is making no promises of any kind to come and to be a part of this community of faith that Jesus is forming. There would have been all kinds of reasons to decline this request. This person is not even wanting to come necessarily and meet with Jesus. He's making no commitment whatsoever to convert to Judaism. He's simply saying, I trust that you have the power to do this. And while these friends that he has sent are still even talking to Jesus, the slave is healed. If you were to ask me what common theme I see in all of these examples of advocacy in this short story for today, it would be the unexpected nature of these actions on the part of people, the unexpected way in which they are reaching out to be on the side of another. And it's what now we start to see more and more through the rest of the gospel as it is told in the weeks that follow in this feast Sundays after Pentecost. And I'm inspired by that. I'm inspired especially by this when I think about all of the barriers that continue to exist between religions, between cultures, between races, between even those of us who gather here and all of those who choose not to gather in a church on Sunday morning or any place of worship. I'm inspired when I think about the possibilities that this story opens up for us. And I'm inspired also by the way in which I feel the Spirit of God drawing us into relationships that maybe were unexpected for us just a year or two ago. What started with just a few fireside chats about homelessness in Pierce County has evolved into what really is a beautiful relationship of interdependence that now exists at so many levels, where children and adults at St. Mark's, for example, and children and adults at the Long Elementary School see each other as allies, as advocates for one another, and as buddies in the lunchroom. And it's also an experience that we've had where Christians like us, and Jews, and Muslims, have been brought together on the side of each other so we can leverage our collective power and our collective resources and our connections in the community in order to be on the side of homeless people. It's easy to get discouraged when we read or see the news, or when we think about what it would take, what it will take to bring about this kind of transformation on a global scale. But this little story for today holds with it the promise that even one person acting in faith can begin a wave of advocacy that will wash over countless others in the process. That's a challenge, yes, but it's also a promise. It's a promise that we take with us to trust in and to cherish in all of the ways that the Holy Spirit is active through us. Thanks be to God. Amen.